And when it's old, it will not depart from it. We had five children. We lost one very young, four girls and a boy. And Rodney, he reached that age, we call it an age, to where he kept me praying quite a bit. I told him one time, I said, Rodney, if I ever do anything successful, I owe a lot to you. He said, why, Daddy, how'd I help? I said, you kept me praying. But one time I told him, I said, Rodney, I can't wait for you to get old. He said, why? I said, because the Bible says, bring them up in the way they should go, and when they get old, they'll not depart from it. So I said, I'm really looking forward to you to get old. Well, I guess Rodney got old because now he just preaches the Word of God to me, and he's standing on the Word of God. You know, sometimes we have to hold on to God for our children when things look utterly impossible. Any of you ever been there? Thank God for the four or five honest people that shouted, amen. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel like God has helped me to make myself ready for this year. I mean, I feel like I'm ready. It's almost like I'm ready for, you were talking about the different branches of the service. And how many believes God's got a, I don't know, after listening to the pastor, I don't know whether you'll say God's got an army or an air force. God's got a military bunch, okay? And we used to sing that little song, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. And then was, I'm in the army of the Lord. And, but I feel like that God, through his word, is preparing us for anything. I'll put it this way. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Now, I'm not out looking for no devil. As many of them as they are today, you don't have to look too hard to find one. But according to the Word of God, we are well equipped to conquer and more than conquer anything the enemy tries to throw our way. I mean, he's glad that through Christ you're made an overcomer. I'm going to read a scripture or two or three or four or five, more or less. And you've probably been hearing it a lot these past few days. It's kind of sad that most people pin this to Christmas. I do not celebrate Christmas. I celebrate the birth of Christ Jesus. Because there's a lot of things that goes under Christmas now that I'm not about to celebrate. But I celebrate the birth of Christ Jesus. And I am thankful that there is a day set aside that at least still get somewhat recognition that he was born, that God came incarnate in the flesh. And regardless of what time of the year it was, I myself kind of think that he was probably born more near the springtime. But that's just a little personal thing with me. But the main thing, aren't we glad he came? But this year, for some reason, his birth has caught my attention in a different realm of thinking than it ever has before. I got to thinking about this. In fact, I just touched on it last night very briefly. But I got to thinking, why Bethlehem? It wasn't even the capital city. You know, why those shepherds? Why those wise men? Now, the Bible don't say it was three. You know, could have been more. But they followed that star. They saw a star in the east. And they, east could have been India. Our little nativity scene has a little bit wrong. The shepherds got there when he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. But the time those wise men got there, he'd grown some. He was a young child then. Amen. He could have been 2, 3, 4 years old. But those wise men followed that star all the way, and nobody else saw it but them. You know, you wonder, why didn't others see that star? They said, we have seen a star in the east. And I thought, why Bethlehem? Why the shepherds? Why the wise men? And it started getting my attention strong enough to where I went to the Word. Let's read this from the second chapter of Luke. And we probably almost quote this whole part, beginning at the 8th verse. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this night. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe. You shall find him. You're going to find him, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly, there went with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. In earth, let peace be. Goodwill toward men. These shepherds were the first ones to ever hear the singing of the angels on earth. I mean, it started out angel and ended up being angels. And suddenly all these things started looking to me like such a great mystery. I thought, Jesus, being the Word made flesh, God incarnate in the flesh, why, the cattle on a thousand hills was his. He could have been born any place he wanted. But why Bethlehem? The prophet had spoken and he said, Bethlehem, the smallest of prince, the smallest of cities. You know, when we try to put something over, we'll try to put it over in a big way. But here the King of Glory coming in such a way that it seems like everything is small. It's as if Bethlehem, you know, really insignificant. But when you look and you find out all the events that took place in Bethlehem down through the ages. In fact, the word Bethlehem itself means house of bread. Well, where else would be better for the bread of heaven to come, to be birthed at, than in the house of bread? Remember Ruth and Naomi. And Naomi said, there was her two daughter-in-laws, sons had died, and she had heard, Naomi had heard, that there was bread back in Bethlehem. And she said, I'm going to return. Well, Bethlehem being the house of bread, and I thought, God, why the shepherds? When Jesus was born in almost, you could almost say, the shadow of the cathedral, the synagogues, why was not the angel sent to the cathedral to carry the message? One of the greatest messages of all time. No other message any greater than the Redeemer has come. The Messiah, what was the message the angel was taken to those shepherds? The one Messiah is here right now. He's been born this night to you in the city of David. The Messiah, when the people in the synagogue or cathedral, when they were looking for his coming, they could have no doubt been in a service that night, up teaching from the scrolls, maybe from the prophecy of Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive, be with child. And yet, while they were preaching, this great event was coming. There was a message going to the shepherd. The event is here now. The one that you're waiting for is already here. How many believes there's some things we're waiting for that's here right now? Go ahead and say it. There's blessings here right now. There's deliverance here right now. Why was not the angel sent to the cathedral instead of out there to those shepherds? The shepherds were considered the common people. The common people was considered the poor people. One of the things I believe God started dealing with me on this, I see so much of Jesus in a lot of people that feel like they're not doing anything. I see so much of the love of God in a lot of people. I can detect it by their voice. I can see it in their walk. It's almost tangible. You can just spot it in some people, in their dedication. Maybe you don't even know their name, but they feel like they are doing so little. But yet it's as if you can just see so much of Jesus in them. Kind of like the lad that had the loaves and fishes in the Bible. But shepherds, they didn't have to have any degree. They didn't have to have some doctorate or bachelor's or master's behind them. They didn't need any of that. And they were, as I say, they were considered the common people. They were considered the poor people. So why is this great message of all time going to people like that? The shepherds were not the kind of people that you would expect their name to be on the magazine of being the number one speaker at the conference. They were not that kind. And all they needed to know, they didn't need to know how to function in a science lab. They didn't need to know how to function in some corporate office. All they needed to know was their little sheep. That's the only thing that, and yet, glory, no message of any other era was as great as this message here. And yet, this angel bypassed every bit of that. He bypassed all the headquarter offices, bypassed every bit of it, and was sent to the hillsides, to those common shepherds. Look at all the great people that could have been in that day. But that angel was not sent to them. Bypassed every one of them. And went out there to that lonely hillside. Shepherds lived such a lonely life. And yet what was the message? Behold, a lamb has been born this night. Whew, God. I'm a little bit between tears and laughter right now, but that's okay. I get into the word. I'm just a very adamant person. Someone told me one time, they said, you are emotional. I said, you either got some good common sense or discernment, because you're exactly right. Glory. I mean, here they are, those shepherds. And here comes this angel showing up. Behold, I bring unto you, to you. I could have been sent elsewhere, but I'm bringing this unto you. Some of the, you know, the word shepherd is really, look, if you ever look through the Bible at the prophets, the great men of God who were shepherds, look at, oh, sometimes we miss the greatness of God by looking for big. Yeah. Amen. God is big, but we find him in the little. Yeah. Amen. Glory. Amen. I mean, Jacob, a shepherd. Look at Moses going into Egypt with that shepherd's staff, that rod, and the same shepherd's staff that brought Israel out of Egypt's bondage was the same rod that brought judgment on Egypt. Look at David. Perhaps it could have been on the same hillsides that David, where David was, when the prophet of God was sent to his dad's house, Jesse's house. That prophet of God walked in and said, God has sent me here to anoint one of your sons to be king. Well, Jesse brought all of his sons forth except one. And every one of them that came forth, David was ready to pour that anointing oil upon them. And every one of them passed. And everyone that came by, God said, this is not the one. This is not the one. Amen. After they all marched by, that prophet of God looked at Jesse. He said, now I know God sent me here. I know you've got to have a son that's appointed for this hour and this time. Yeah. I'm here with this horn of oil to pour upon him. Jesse, I'm telling you, God sent me here to anoint one of your sons to be king. And you brought all of them. There must be another one somewhere. Jesse said, well, the youngest. But he's out there on the hillside watching over the sheep. Could have it been the same hillside that here these shepherds were on some years later, keeping watch over their flock by night? And they're all looking for the coming of the Messiah. And yet the angels are saying, he's here right now. And I'm going to tell you where you can find him. You will find him in one of the most simplest places. You'll find him in a place that seems like the place most least likely to find the King of Glory. Yes, he's the one that all the gold is his, all the silver is his, the cattle on a thousand hills are his. But you'll find him in the place that seems the most likely. Well, if all the gold and silver is here, he is, then surely I will find him in the great palace. You're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Did not John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world"? Well, what better place to announce the birth of a lamb than in the sheep field? And look at who has words, and they came, and they rose up quickly with haste and said, "Let us now go and see this thing which has come to pass." And they went, they found him just as the scripture had said. And yet his first congregation was those common poor people. I told Lorraine yesterday, and I really didn't get it across with the full strength that I'm. Have you ever just sent something in your spirit and you tried to tell it and you couldn't get it to come out the way you see it and feel it? And I told her, I said, I would like to find a group of people to go to that they could do nothing for me in return. I don't mean that in a haughty way. I mean perhaps a congregation that it looked like I would need to take them a load of groceries and myself. I'd done that one time in Mozambique, Africa. And to a people that could absolutely do nothing for me in return. But they really loved God. Are you with me right now? Amen. Go ahead and say it. If I touch anything in 2023, I want to touch heaven.
Yes, sir.
Glory. If I touch anybody in 2023, I want to touch God. If I feel anything in 2023, I want to feel the glory of God flooding my soul like a river. Oh, let's take a praise break and magnify Jesus. Hallelujah. When those shepherds came and found him, when they were right in their environment. I mean, there was the manger, there was the feeding trough, there was the swaddling clothes, there was the stable, if we use that word. Those shepherds were right in their environment.
Yes, sir.
They felt right at home.
Yeah.
If it had been the religious theologians out of the synagogue, well, they couldn't have come without their iPads and their and their Greek and their Hebrew and all this. They would have been so out of place.
Yeah.
But here these come. These shepherds that were almost considered nobodies. Now listen, I got to correct this here. If you've got a degree, don't you dare think I'm preaching against you or your degree. Unless it's standing between you and God. And I'm going to shoot at that thing every time I can if it's standing in your way. Glory. But here are those shepherds arrived home. They're in their environment. And they are there worshiping Emmanuel. Glory. This just, I'm seeing this more and more in the Word. When you go back through the, look at Elijah out there. Look at that prophet. Why, you know the Word of God don't even tell us who his mom and daddy is. His successor, when God got him, he pulled him out from behind the plow. Turn around and tell somebody, said, there's hope for you and I. I mean, David pulled him out from the sheep field. But Brother Wiseman, I'm not the one from behind the plow. I'm not the one from behind the sheep field. I grew up with the best education. Well, you're not left out either. So was Moses. He had the best scholars and tutors that anyone could have. That's right. Pharaoh saw that he had the best tutors that money could buy. Are you with me right now? Come on and sit. There's room for everybody in this walk. He had the best training. Pharaoh was training him to take over. He knew how to operate the Egyptian military. He knew how to operate and lead the nation. I mean, he had it all there. But you know what? Something happened when Moses come face to face with the fire in the burning bush. Something changed. God had to get Moses at a place to where he would trust him more than he would trust his education. We're not against education. Are you hearing? I wish I had a little more education myself. I probably wouldn't have to have so many dictionaries around me when I study the Word. But when he come face to face with that fire in the burning bush, what did God say? Moses, what's in your hand?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He didn't say, Moses, what's in your head? Most of us would be embarrassed to tell him what's in our head. Don't you sit there and look at me like you've never had an ugly thought. I'll ask God to reveal your age before we get out of here. If that don't work, we'll ask him to reveal the real color of your hair. We're not praised. If I do, will you fix it all after I leave? I was sitting there watching this. Sometimes I think that I would say, I get to thinking I was born in the wrong body, but the way people are carrying that term now, you might get the wrong idea, so I ain't about to have that. But the way I mean it is, I'll bypass that and put it this way. I was looking, I thought, God, I love it when these people get free. I mean, we used to work in the islands a lot in Africa. And I remember my wife telling one time, she said, I love it in those islands. And talking, Sister Wiseman, do you like leaving your house and going over there to Africa and the islands? She said, I love it. As what's the main thing you like about it? She said, well, the main thing is I forget I'm white when I get there. She did. How many believes every one of us have a new body waiting on us? Have you ever thought about what color is it going to be? We might find out there's a complete new color we didn't know about. What accent are we going to speak with? Northern or Southern? I'll tell you one thing. Now, don't take me wrong. They probably feel the same way. But if it's Northern accent, we're going to have a Holy Ghost interpreter in the house. When we get. What language are we going to speak? I mean, when the saints of God come back to rule and reign upon this earth, in them new bodies, you know. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, you know, the Bible said we'll be known as we are known. I don't think we're going to be known as white or black. Amen. Yeah. Look at somebody and say, you missed a good chance to say amen. God might have his own language. How in the world did I get out of the shepherd's hill in the stable on this? I don't know. That's just one of those bonuses. You can tell I don't have the degree as many trails as I take. But they were right there in their own environment. Moses, something happened. He had all that. I just don't believe that Pharaoh led him by very long with skipping school. I believe those tutors were brought in to teach him. I just believe he had the best education that it possibly be. Yeah. But he got to the place. God said, Moses, tell me what is in your hands. But isn't it something? God took everything out of Moses' hands. No longer could he ring up the kitchen in the palace and tell him, say, I want something brought to the west wing of the castle. I'm ready for dinner. All that was out of his hands now. When he left Egypt, he left in a hurry. He was running for his life. He didn't take time to pack a bag, a snack. And he's out there. All that's out of his hands. And all he has is that crooked stick. That shepherd's staff. But what happened when he come face to face with that fire burning bush? Oh, I love this. God equipped him to perform a one-man invasion into Egypt.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
One man to set a nation free. No grenades. No machetes, no 45s, no rifles, no army tanks, and he knows what Pharaoh's army is equipped with. And all he's got is an old crooked stick in his hand. Glory. The devil wants you to think that you've got nothing that can overcome the hordes of hell that he wants to send our way to bring us down. Moses said, Lord, it's a rod. Cast it down, Moses. He threw that thing down, and it became a serpent. Do you know Moses was the first snake handler I ever read about? My roots might be from West Virginia. My grandparents may be out of the hills of Kentucky. But when it comes to that scripture about handling snakes, I believe it exactly like the Bible says. They shall. So let they do it. That thing turned into a serpent. And the Lord said, now grab it by its tail. If that had been me and Lorraine, I'd have said, Lorraine, come here. God wants you to do something. Can't you see Moses? God, if this is you, let fire fall out of heaven. What'd you say, God? Get that snake by the tail, because you're going to be facing a bunch of snakes when you get back to Egypt. You're going to be facing a bunch of false prophets. Man, I feel some Holy Ghost in here. Some people, when they feel the presence of God, have you ever heard people talk about that? Feel so warm and so hot. When I feel the presence of God, it seems like I feel cold. No, I'm not dead. it's just the way the presence of God, I just sense it like that. He reached over, grabbed that thing by the tail, and it turned into a rod again. But the very thing, that's the very tool that God was saying, what's in your hands is going to devour what's in the hands of your enemy. Yes, sir. When he got back and started, I mean, can you imagine God using one man to invade Egypt without firing a shot?
Yes, sir.
Glory. And all he has is that rod in his hand. I got to hurry with this. We've been talking about 2023 so much in New Year's. I just feel like 2023 is just one big day. I forgot. Hallelujah. If I don't soon hurry, I'm going to hear something besides praises. It's going to be everybody's stomach growling for about. So here he is, and he gets down there. What happened? The sorcerers and all those prophets down there in Egypt, they throw their rods down.
Yeah.
It was a rod against rod. What's in their hands against what's in the hands of the enemy.
Yeah.
How many believe there's some things in the hands of our enemy?
Yes, sir. Amen.
And there was a lot more of it. Moses, a single hand, threw it down, a serpent. They said, oh, we can do this. They throw theirs down. And the same thing. But what happened? What was in Moses' hand destroyed? It stripped.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Those false prophets couldn't pick their rods back up anymore because they were gone. Glory.
Yeah.
What was in the hands of Moses destroyed what was in the hands of Pharaoh's false prophets.
Amen.
Hold your hands out and say, there's something in my hands that can strip the hands of my enemy. It can cause the hands of my enemy to be empty from their devices they're trying to use against me. Are you getting this? Glory to God. I mean, oh, glory. Isn't it something, Bethlehem? That's right where Ruth gleaned in the fields of Boaz. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. Did Jesus not come as our kinsman redeemer? Rachel, where she buried, and she died in giving birth. What's the scripture? Rachel weeping for her children.
Yeah.
She died in giving birth, and where she buried, right at the entrance of Bethlehem. Are you with me? Right? Another birth is coming forth in Bethlehem. And those men that said, we have seen a star in the east. Catch this. Come up here with me. Sorry.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yes. They followed that star.
Yes, sir.
All the way to Jerusalem.
Yes.
They thought they'd stop by the religious headquarters to see if they could find out where this Jesus was born.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, they got there some time later. Well, surely we can find out where he was born if we stop by the religious headquarters. I got so excited the day I had come out of my chair just reading there at the house.
Yes, sir.
And I thought, man, Jesus rode a donkey right into the town of the religious headquarters.
Yes, he did.
And they didn't even know who he was.
Mm.
But here these wise, when they stopped at the religious headquarters, it's in the word to read it. Why'd they have to inquire? They'd been following the star. Suddenly, when they got to religious headquarters, they couldn't see the star anymore.
They
had to stop and inquire. They'd been following that star. I mean, it's in your word. They'd followed that. We've seen this star in the east. Now tell us where he was born. So they evidently they couldn't follow it anymore.
That's right.
It went out.
Amen. Amen.
What'd they do? They went to checking. And they found out, oh, let us check. It was in Bethlehem.
Yes.
Well, when they left the religious headquarters and started toward Bethlehem, they started seeing that star again.
Yes.
Come on and said, if we can get free from religion, we'll see that beautiful star.
Yes, sir.
Glory to the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Just think of what the devil.
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying God needs the help of the devil, but I am saying this, what the devil's done against you, God can turn that thing around in your favor.
Hallelujah.
Why was Joseph and Mary even in Bethlehem? Why were they there? Because the greedy, wicked ruler, out of greed, Caesar sent out a decree. some degree. He sent out a decree for decrease. He sent out a decree that all the world should be taxed. And the census being made, Joseph had to go from Galilee to Bethlehem, about 80 miles. And Mary, being great with child, had to travel 80 miles in that condition.
Yeah, yeah.
80 miles. They didn't have an Escalade back then. They didn't have Enterprise rental. Had to make that trip 80 miles. To Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Caesar may have been doing it out of greed, but God was saying, the prophecy has got to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
It's got to be in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
What Caesar may be trying to oppress you. Maybe I need to come back on April 15th and preach this one again. Caesar may be trying to oppress you, but what glory. Come on and say, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
God said, I've got to have Joseph in And the reason Joseph had to go to Bethlehem is he had to go back to that area to answer to the census because of Caesar's decree. And that happened to be where he was when that baby was born.
Yes,
Pharaoh didn't know it. But God, what he was doing out of greed, God was using it just to line up prophecy for the coming of the king.
Yes, sir.
What the Pharaohs are doing in this hour, they don't know it, but God's just using them to line up the prophecies. Glory for the saints to prosper.
Yes.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory
to God. Somebody said, what was you doing when the clock struck midnight last night? I was fulfilling the scripture that he said he would give his beloved sweet sleep. I was determined I was going to be fulfilling scripture one way or the other when it struck 12. I feel real religious right now, in a good kind of way. Just lining it all up. If you can get this in your spirit, all that bunch of junk that's coming against you, if we'll stand on the Word of God, God's got a way of turning everything around in our favor. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
What you doing? I'm thinking myself happy. I am. I'm thinking myself happy. How can you think yourself happy? Sometimes you got to put the car in reverse. I can think myself sad. I can think myself depressed. And I don't mean to shock you, but I could almost think myself mad. Get to thinking what some people's done to me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Or I can think myself glad.
Yes,
or I can think my, the Bible said think on these things.
Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is really going to make some of you think happy because I'm going to close pretty soon. I don't know how soon. After all, I'm in Him, and one day with the Lord is just 1,000 years and 1,000 years. I was in Florida preaching, and this guy, he's written a lot of books. And he called me and he said, Brother Wiseman, I've been hearing about you. And someone told me that you're here in Miami preaching, and I would like to come to your meeting if it's okay. I said, why, certainly. You're welcome to come. And I'd been preaching down there at the Orange Bowl a few years ago. And he said, well, I want to ask you one thing. He said, I understand that you've worked with Brother Norval Hayson. I said, yes, and still do. Were any of you ever in Brother Norval Hayson's meeting?
Yes.
You were? He never got hurt. First time I ever met the man was in Daytona Beach. He was there at a hotel having a meeting. Brother Shambach was a speaker one night. Brother Norval did not get through introducing Brother Shambach until almost 10 o'clock. Introducing him as the evening speaker. You remember that? I mean, introducing the man at 10 o'clock, most people's already got out of church in their Taco Bell, but Brother Norval's up introducing his speaker. But this guy asked me, he said, do you preach the message that Brother Norval preaches? I said, well, I preach the Bible. He said, that's not what I mean. I said, what do you mean? He said, every service that I've been in with Brother Norval Hayes, He preaches the everlasting gospel. And you think it's never going to end. But I learned something from Brother Norville. It seems like I can see and hear him saying it right now. And we were very close to Zona, his daughter. He said, you can get God to do whatever you believe him to do if you'll just believe it strong enough. Isn't that powerful?
Amen. Yeah.
I felt that wave again. You, little one out on the hillside. You, little shepherd out there on the hillside. You, one the world calls the commoner. You, I mean, it's just been getting a hold of me. It bypassed all the religious sect to get to that group. Oh. I hear it again. I can hear it. You can. I'm not talking to this crowd right now. I'm talking to individuals. I'm talking to you. You. Talking to you. You can get God to do whatever you believe him to do. If you will believe it strong enough. My belief has got to be stronger than my storm. My believing has got to be stronger than this howling wind. My believing has got to be stronger than this rolling sea.
Yes, sir.
My believing has got to be stronger than this midnight hour.
Yes.
Glory.
Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
We were in a meeting in West Virginia, in fact. It wasn't too long ago. And it was just so faith-building. I mean faith building. And we knew the presence of God was in the service. But that night, I don't remember praying for one person. We may have, but I don't remember. I didn't remember the next day. We didn't have a prayer line. But the faith got so built that people wanted to praise the Lord. And they started praising the Lord according to their faith. How many believe faith will cause you to praise Him?
Yes, sir. Amen.
It'll cause you to praise Him as if it's already done.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Calling those things which be not as other. And we left the service that night. Next night, we were scheduled to be there 3 evenings, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And the next night, went back to service. A pastor met me outside. He said, Brother Wiseman, people are wanting to testify tonight. I said, well, praise the Lord. He said, I don't believe you understand. He said, people are wanting to testify. I said, well, good. He said, they're wanting to praise God different people have come up to me about what got done in the service last night. I said, oh, really? He said, yes. Well, the service started, and I mean, the praise music, the praise. I mean, it sounded like the keyboard. It sounded like those keys have been touched by the coals of fire off the altar. It sounded like those guitars. Every string, it sounded like it was being hit by the coals of fire off the altar. Well, they hit a little break, and the lady stood up. She said, I've got to testify. He said, go ahead, sister. She said, for a few years now, my right arm, I've not been able to raise it. The arthritis has been so bad. She said it was the arthritis had taken complete control over my joints, and I could not lift my arms. But she said, last night in the service, when that praise hit, she said, I happened to look around, and both of my hands were raised toward heaven. And she said, I looked and I thought, well, look at this, would you? She said, I thought, I'm going to try it. She said, I brought it back down. I raised it back up. She said, I have been using that arm all day long with no pain. She said, I've been years couldn't lift it up. This other, I mean, they hit another song right out of heaven, and in another little spot that lit up, another lady said, I've got to testify. She said, I've been having female problems, female issues. She said, last night when I went home, I could tell something different was in my body. She said, I went in the restroom, closed the door, and I checked myself. She said, what the devil had put on my body had disappeared. It was gone. It fell off last night in the glory. Holy Ghost present.
Glory to God.
She got through testifying. This man stood up. He said, well, I've got to testify. He said, I don't know if the church family noticed, but I had a visitor with me last night. Said the man doesn't even claim to be a Christian. And said, I've been witnessing to him. And said, on the way home last night, said he was riding with me, and he looked at me, and he said, I feel weird. That got my attention. I want to know why people feel weird. Now, I might appear strange, but I ain't weird. I bind that spirit. No, I'm not weird. So he said, that man said, I feel weird. He said, I looked at him and said, what do you mean you feel weird? He said, my body. He said, my body feels weird. He said, I've had neuropathy for 5 years. My toes have been numb. My fingers have been numb. And he said, it seems like the feeling is coming back in my toes and my fingers. Just by being in the presence of God. Glory to God. Come on and say, feel this place with your presence. Feel this place with that healing balm of Gilead. Fill this place with the Shekinah glory. Glory. He said, that man called me this morning, and he said, sir, he said, I've got the feeling back in my, and this man's not even a Christian. And do you know who the healing bread really belongs to? The children.
Yeah, yeah.
This man hadn't even been born again. If a dog can crawl up under the table and get a crumb, my God, let's have a healing party.
Yeah. Oh. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Oh. Oh, yeah. He said, and not only that, he said, where I've had blood clots in my legs, my feet have been swollen so large I couldn't get my shoes on. That's why he wore flip-flops to the service the night before. But he said, the swelling in my legs have gone down, and my feet. And we didn't lay hands on anybody. And I believe in that. We didn't anoint anybody. But there's a place beyond all that. Yes. Come on and say, it's time for us to go beyond. Oh, stand on your feet with me so I'll hurry up and shut up. Come on, stand on your feet with me. Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, I may feel like I'm in that most insignificant place, that little Bethlehem. I may feel like that common shepherd, no special ability. I know I'm not. I said it last night. It's not a false humility thing. I know this. I know that I don't know how to preach. You folks know that. I don't know how. Singing? Huh? You think I don't know how to preach? You ought to hear me sing. My wife said, why is it every word comes out in a different key when you sing? I said, maybe it's because I'm the only one singing the scriptural way. She said, how do you get that? I said, the Bible said he's given me keys, plural, and not singular. She said, well, you don't have to use all the keys in the same song. But this one thing I do know, I know my name is written. Yes. Woo! Yes, sir. I know my sins are gone. Yes, sir. Oh, Micaiah. Yes. I know I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, sir.
I know the resurrection lives on the inside.
Yes, sir.
I know there is a ghost that's occupying this house.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And he scared the devil out of me a long time ago.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Turn around and tell somebody, I'm taking what's mine. I'm taking what's mine.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I don't care where you do it, whether it's back there in your seat, or standing around the wall, or up here. But I want you to touch him this morning like you've never touched him. God, I don't want it to be, I don't want this ministry that you've called me to be, I don't want it to be a thing of scheduling to get a bill paid. Scheduling to see what I can get from your precious people. But God, I want the ministry to be what I can give. Holy Ghost presence. Glory. Lord, I wonder how many little, spiritually speaking, little Davids could be under the sound of my voice. Maybe a little Ruth. Lord, I see it from Genesis to Revelation. A big God showing up in a sling and a stone. Showing up in a dried up jawbone of a mule. Mighty big God showing up in just a little handful of meal. A great big God showing up just in a little pot of oil. A great big God showing up in a little man threshing wheat by the name of Gideon. a great big God showing up. And a man down there that his eyes had been plucked out and grinding at the mill in prison.